For those of you who were here yesterday for the hope and worship service that we had, you know that it was a blast. It was just so great. I mean, this place was rocking. And we had people from different churches throughout New Jersey here with us, made new friends, and we hope to do it again sometime. And I hope that you can make it the next time because it was really great. And hopefully we'll be able to see some of them again. The theme of hope was prevalent yesterday, and that represents the first week in Advent. And this week we're talking about peace, but they're actually all interworking because it's one God, and he possesses all of these things for us, right? And so today we're going to be not looking so much at the word peace, but it is evident here. But we're going to be looking at the Lord of Light, okay, the Lord of Light. And that is also a big theme around Christmas time. You can see all the Christmas lights that are up, that are going on, and you can give thanks to God for that because it came from him. And those lights are just a representation of him in a very cheerful and wonderful way, and it's great that we can do that to show those kind of lights. But it's important that we understand what the real meaning of the lights are. And God has given us a wild and wonderful way to look at it today in the scriptures. And each of you, I think, has one of these. If you don't have one, raise your hand. It's a list of the ran out. Okay, so you're going to have to, next time maybe we can make some copies if we run out. But if you have somebody next to you has one and you don't have one, you can share. Yesterday we did talk about the Son of Righteousness. Raise your hand if you remember that from yesterday. The Son of Righteousness, right? And so this immediately, it's not S-O-N, Son, it's S-U-N, Son. So everybody knows about the sun in the sky that is shining now through these windows, and that is also pointing at Jesus. And he is the Son of Righteousness. And so within this, we get a great lesson during this time of Advent about righteousness, hope, right, about peace, all these things that people are looking for in life. I mean, you only have to look in the world that's going on, and people are looking for that, right? Or they are fighting against it, right? So God has a purpose in bringing us these lessons so that we can know what the truth is in life, what something dependable, something that is going to be sustaining and that we can base our lives on. It's just a great privilege to know God and the story of Jesus. And so if you look at the scriptures today, I did something like last week where I'm giving you a theme. Or I'm not giving it, God is giving us this through the Bible, and we are looking at scriptures from the Old Testament that point to the new, because Jesus was foretold from the Old Testament times into the New Testament, and he is the New Testament. He's the new covenant, the new everything for people to base their lives on. And so it says, let's look at this. At the top, you'll see Christ, the Son of Righteousness, the sunrise who visited us from on high. Okay, so the first book in that's listed here is from the Old Testament, and it's Malachi chapter 4, verses 2 to 3. But for you who hear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall. Okay? You shall tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord of hosts. So here you'll see in the beginning, it says that you who fear my name, you who believe in me, you who respect me as God, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. So there's three things at hand here. The sun, the light. Okay? The sun is light. light giving, heat giving, but light giving. And then there's righteousness. Everything that is right. And it shall rise, the sun rise, with healing in its wings. And so when we think about this, we need to be thinking about Jesus and what he's about. He's the light, shining in the darkness, illuminating so that we can see. Righteousness, he is righteous. He's perfect. He is without sin. He's holy. He is truth, because we all need truth. Without that, we can't live, right? And he possesses power to heal. He heals. He comes, and that's what Jesus did. He came and he healed us from our sins. And also, he healed people of their physical problems. He was a healer and a miracle worker, but more than that, he went to the cross as a healer of sins and souls. Amen? Does that describe you now today? Do you know this Son of Righteousness who came into the world to heal people from their sins? Does that describe you? God wants you to accept that today, to receive Christ as the healer of your sins, so that you will become a follower of Christ and have eternal life. And know what peace means to the fullest value. Extend not just a peace for this world, but into eternity. And if you know people in your life, they need to know about this too, because it's for all people. Now there's one verse, a part of the verse after that. It says, you shall go out leaping like calves from the stall. And that is the description of those people that are healed by the healer. The people that are freed from their sins and are at peace with God leap as though they were let out like calves from a stall. Does that describe you in your life today? God wants you to experience that. He wants to set you free so that you bound out with the freedom that you've been given from your sins and the death that comes with sin into life, and to live life to the fullest in that kind of a way, filled with joy and anticipation, because you know the Prince of Peace. Now we look down, there's a scripture underneath that comes from today's scripture, and we don't have time to go through all of the scripture, but let's just look at a part of it. In Luke 1, 76 to 79, the sunrise is Christ, and you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High. That is John the Baptist. He was a prophet of the Most High God. You will go before the Lord to prepare his ways. John the Baptist was a man who was actually related to Jesus, and it was his role in life that he was born into to go before Christ, Jesus, before he began his walk to the cross, to tell people they need to repent. To repent and to prepare for Christ's coming in that way. That the very Son of God, who was promised from way, way, way back in the ancient days, where the ancient prophets like Malachi prophesied about this coming guy who was coming. He was the Son of Righteousness. And now he's coming. He's here. I mean, listen, think about that and take it to heart. He is coming. You're going to meet him one day. Right? And so we are to prepare ourselves. How? By repentance. Right? To give knowledge of salvation to his people. To tell people, you are going to be saved now. The sunrise is coming. In the forgiveness of your sins, right? Because of the tender mercy of God, God is showing mercy upon people. Even though they deserve to die, he's showing mercy. Whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high. And so this sunrise that we're talking about here in the first part, where it says the Son of Righteousness, now becomes to Luke, the sunrise shall visit us from on high. It comes up. It rises up. Jesus is coming into this world. He's coming into your life. He's coming now, right? From on high, coming down here because he wants to talk to you. He wants you to listen to what he has to say because his words are leading you to life and peace and hope. The reality that all of these things do exist, but they exist only through him. To give light to those in darkness, who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. And that describes us without God. We are in darkness and we're dying. Or dead. Right? That describes you and me without God, without Jesus Christ in our lives. Why? Because of our sin. Right? To guide our faith, our feet, where? Into the way of peace. Right? It's like this. I'm in Christ. I'm one with God. I have peace. I have true shalom. I'm whole. Without God, I'm not whole, but with God, I'm whole. And that's where I find my peace. And that translates into a person like all of us here today who has something that they do, like maybe you're a student, right? And you're going to school and you're thinking about accomplishing what you want to accomplish so that you can have a life and you can get a job and you can, you know, establish yourself in that kind of a way. But if you're doing it like this, you're not whole. You don't have everything that you need to live a life that will be secure, that will be confident. Just like we were reading in that verse that talked about how righteousness bears fruit in peace. And what comes from that? A quiet heart and confidence. Now, I don't know about you, but I think that young people need to hear that message, don't they? Because what I hear a lot is, I got lots and lots of work to do. I got tons of studying to do. I got so many exams coming up. Pray for me. Do you know Christ? Do you know Jesus? Are you one with him? Do you have the calm and the quietness that comes in your life, in your soul, that you need to be able to live? Get that first. I understand. I dig it. I got it. I know where you're coming from, and it's hard to do things. You got a job. You have a deadline. You got family to raise. You've got all kinds of different things. People are coming, and they want a piece of you from every angle, things like that. Are you like this? Or are you like this? You can't do anything like this. You're going to continue to face the same problems every day. But when you have Christ and the peace that the Prince of Peace gives, then you can do anything. And the thing that's cool about God is that the things that you think you're supposed to be doing may not even be the things that he purposed for you, and he'll show you those when you give him your life. Right? And so that's really what this is all about. Give your life to Christ fully and live a life in Christ fully, and then see how your life evolves after that. It's going to be filled with quietness and with confidence. Righteousness bears fruit in peace. And you and I don't know what peace is unless we know Jesus. You may think you know. You may think, silent night, holy night, look at how calm it is out there and all that. Silent night, quiet night only comes through Jesus and his peace. It's not the stars that can give that peace. It's the Son of Righteousness who can give peace and brings peace about in the lives of people so that the lion and the lamb will sleep together. And that's what we learn. How to live. How to have these things that people only think about and write poetry about and think, oh, it would be nice to have, wouldn't it? Or they come up with their own concepts of what peace is, but they don't really understand it because they don't know God. Right? And so we need to know God to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace, and that way of peace is Jesus. The Son of Righteousness, the next part, the Son of Righteousness is connected to the Star of Jacob and the great light that people who walk in darkness have seen. In Numbers 24:17, it says, I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. There was a star that went up into the sky that appeared to people so that they could find where Jesus was going to be born. You know that story, right? The Star of Bethlehem, and there's this star there. And we believe that this verse here in Numbers pointed to that star that was going to show them where to find the baby Jesus in a stall. And that was foretold in Numbers many, 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 many years ago before that ever occurred. But it was a prophecy that was going to lead people to that star. And that star was going to lead people to Christ. Amen? And so in the midst of all these things that we're going through in our lives, and we have a lot of different things going on in church that are teaching us these stories, we need to pay attention to this. Because this is God saying, here is that light that was foretold. And those wise men who were looking for Christ and thinking, where is this star going to appear, saw it and they found him. And so open your eyes and see the light of Christ. God is talking to us. That was one aspect. And then in Isaiah 9:2, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. Imagine this. People are in complete darkness, right? They have been walking in it. How do you walk in darkness? Very carefully. If you don't put a little light on in the bathroom at night, you may just bang your head against a door. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. This is one of the most dramatic verses I've ever read in the Bible. It is hope-giving. It is filled with meaning. It's filled with implications for our lives. That we are walking in darkness, in unknowingness, in all these different ways, and there we see this great light before us, and it's Christ. It's Christ, and when we see that great light, we know that there are great things for us in him, right? Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. The light of God has shined, is shine upon them. The great light is Jesus Christ. The people who walked in darkness have seen. And so the light that we're talking about here also causes us to need to look at what the word darkness means, right? This darkness in our lives, everybody's experienced, haven't you? At some point seen some kind of a form of darkness, right? I mean, you don't have to look very far. But what if the things that you're experiencing there, you bring Christ into that situation? Now, if you're like me, most of the time it's just, you know, we don't see that light because we're just plain lazy. Or we may also just be feeling like so apart from that concept that anything light-giving could be in this situation because of our frailty and our sinfulness, that we just don't even, it doesn't even occur to us to say, God, help me. Show me your light. Bring light into this life of mine. Bring life into this person's life who is walking in darkness. Right? So the darkness is not just like this night time, you know, kind of a thing where you can't see anything or you're in a dark room without any light on. It's talking about the darkness of the soul. And that's what we need to think about. Right? And that's what God is getting at in this word darkness too, that it may be easy for us to start thinking like, yeah, we're walking in this really dark world. The world is really messed up. You know, there's so much darkness around here. I wish I didn't have to walk around this dark world. We are the dark. Without Christ, we are dark. We are the darkness. Our souls are in darkness. So we can't just say, you know, everything is dark around us and, you know, there's so many messed up people and so many different things going on like that. We have to look at our own lives and see, my soul is dark because I'm not receiving the light of God. I haven't given my life to Christ. I haven't given my life to the one who came down from up high and came down to earth to be the peace that would bring us together with the Father and to cancel the darkness once and for all. And so this verse, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light, is really what God is saying to us today. I am that great light, and I'm here for you. I'm your God. Come to me. Get out of the darkness. Let me illuminate your life with my light. It's life-giving. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of God. He loves you, and he came to give you his light. And this is connected to Isaiah 9:6, the same chapter where we find the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Isaiah says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given." Amen? And there you go. You see the light coming in the form of a baby, born in Bethlehem, for to us is born, to us a son is given. Given. He is the gift of Christmas that we all have been given from God. And the question is what we're going to do with it. I think what we ought to do is praise him, right? Like we were doing yesterday and what we're doing today in worship. We pray, we come together to praise God for the light that came into our lives so that we would have eternal life. Turn over the page, okay? You can go to the great light will be for all Gentiles to see. So Gentiles are people who are not Jewish. Okay, it's all people. You're not used to that. The Bible talks in these terms of people being who are not belonging to the people of God, who are Israel. God has included into this salvation story the Gentiles will also see that light. And how are they to see him? Through the Israelites, through the people of God, through the Jewish people. They were chosen by God so that they would be bringing people into the light. It says in Isaiah 42:6, I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations. Isn't that beautiful? That God would say, okay, I'm your light, but I want you to go share that light with all people. And that's who you and I are. We're these part of these, you know, if you're not Jewish and you're here today, then you are part of those who have received that gift, right? And many of the people, if not all of the people, well, most of the people that wrote things were Jewish people chosen by God to tell us here today about this light. In Micah, another book in the Old Testament, chapter 2, 12 to... I will surely assemble all of you, O Jacob. I will gather the remnant of Israel. I will set them together like sheep in a fold, like a flock in its pasture, a noisy multitude of men. He who opens the breach goes up before them. They break through and pass the gate and go out from it. Their king passes on before them, and the Lord at their head. And so this is really describing what was described earlier in the other scripture about these sheep or these calves breaking out, released from the bondage of darkness and being released from the bondage of sin and being prancing around and leaping. And this is another one of those scriptures that talks about that. But that really is a description of what God desires for us as people of his. That we are going to have that kind of a spirit that we'd be leaping with joy, just like Elizabeth when she was pregnant with her baby. And when she came in the presence of Mary, and that baby leapt in her womb because he was anticipating Jesus being born, and he was in the presence of greatness, the Son of God in the womb of Mary. You may not think of yourself like that. You may think of yourself as being a person pretty laid back. I'm not the most like expressive person when it comes to that. I sing and I sang opera. You know, I did all kinds of things like that. And I understand how the voice works, but I would not say that I am a person who feels like that exuberant or feeling like I can show my emotions in that kind of a way. But man, I want to. That isn't to say that, you know, just because I'm like that doesn't mean like that's just who I am. It means that I have somewhere to go with it. I have a growth in that area so that I don't feel so hemmed up and feel like I can't show what I have inside, because man, I have a lot inside. And it all came from God. It all came from what he did in my life. He came into my family life, a dark place, all these things going on, and all these things at work and everything like that. But the faith of one woman, my mother, who took us to church regularly, and we went with her, kicking and screaming sometimes. And we knew Jesus. We knew the light. We knew him. And so if you have kids and you're taking them and they're kicking and screaming, take them anyway. And I'm not kidding. I'm talking about the truth. You have to take it seriously. Because they're going to learn that from you. There are things to be learned, and children need to learn them from their parents. And so this next one is Jesus is the light of the world. And I have to say that this scripture, I mean, I love all of scripture, and I really, you know, there's so many things I have to learn, but when I read this scripture particularly, I just feel so happy. I mean, it's just like an immediate, direct hit, you know, like of joy when I read these words, because they are life-giving. They're a joyful announcement to the world where people prefer darkness and they think there's no hope. John says in the first chapter, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Amen? The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And that is the perfect thing to tell to people who have no hope in life. The light has come into darkness like you're in here, but that darkness has no power over that which you're going through and that you are seeing yourself in right now. So put away all of those thoughts of darkness and that your life has no meaning and grasp onto the light that is life-giving and is found in Jesus Christ. And you will meet him, not someday when he returns. You will meet him in your room. You'll meet him in your bedroom. You'll meet him in your office, in your school, wherever it is that you are, because he's everywhere. And there's no one who loves you more. There's no one you can ever find that possesses the truth and the life and the love of Jesus Christ. And the proof is in the cross. He went to the cross so that you wouldn't have to die. And he deserves our all. Amen. The light shines in the darkness, man. And the darkness has not overcome it. And John is knowing, he knows what he's talking about. He walked with Jesus. He met Jesus. He ate with Jesus. He learned from Jesus and he knew that he had met the truth. And then he says again in 8:12, this is Jesus speaking. And this is the one I was talking about. And again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. And whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And so don't you want to follow Jesus? Or are you into darkness? Man, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived by that prince of darkness, Satan, who desires to drag you into hell forever, who wants to just put an end to your life. And he's ended so many people's lives who have been deceived by him and thought, oh, I could just, you know, I can just do this instead of choosing God and through Jesus Christ. And you don't want that at all. He's saying, though whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And so Jesus is the light of life. We have a class after this, you know, that people are going to be talking about the meaning of things, and I really want you to explore that. You know, I know you got all kinds of different things on your minds and you're thinking about, but really try to examine this. What does it mean to have the light of life? What does it mean that Jesus is the light of life? Begin to get into that and pray over it and say, Lord, show me what life is really about. What does it mean that Jesus says, I am the light of the world? That's a great thing to ask, right? What does that mean? That I am the light of the world. I read some things that people said, but I'm not going to tell you those because I want you to talk about it. I can tell you what I think, and it's probably going to fall way short of the real completeness, because I don't know if anybody could really grasp in words in the languages that we have. You know, we'll need to be in heaven to experience it and be able to say it in the way that is going to, you know, put it into those words. But God gives us this word so that we can think about it. And also, even in our weakness, try. Try to know what it is. Instead of just saying, yeah, that's right, he's the light of the world. What does that mean? Oh, I don't know. I'm not sure, but that sounds good. It means that he takes people that are destitute and that are without any friends, that are destitute and feeling like their life is a failure. It's about people who are squandering in darkness, where they grow up in a family or some kind of a situation where they feel like life is not worth living, or they've committed some kind of a crime. And they face a lifetime in jail behind bars. It means people in society who have been trying to make something happen. And without all of this kind of stuff that we see on television, with all the cosmetics and these perfect looking people that have smiles on their faces and all this kind of stuff. And I want to almost swear, because that's the only way to express it, of what we're being handed here by all these people who want us to just spend money and put our lives into that kind of stuff. And meanwhile, kids are being misled to think that that is the real thing. And that's darkness, man. That is darkness. And there's no reason for us to be able to buy into that and let them just go off and do it and say, I want you to have a chance in life, so you go and make your mistakes. Man, that makes me angry. What kind of an attitude is that? I know you're going to really go into a dangerous part in your life, so just go ahead and experience it. And, you know, I know it's going to work out for you. It's not in God's word that way. We are to be able to get involved in a life where we see there's danger and warn them. And yes, they may reject us. Yes, that's what happened to Jesus. Yes, they may reject you. Yes, they may not want you. But you have to do it anyway. That's what it means to share the gospel. Because we're not going to go to people that are just having a great life. And let me give you another really good thing that you can believe in. It's the only thing. Right? And so we have to take it to heart. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. That's what we believe as Christians. And so he gives you those words, he gives you himself, and he says, okay, here I am. Now explain this to somebody. Explain it. What does it mean to them? What does it mean to you? Don't just tell them things that you read from other people or you're involved with. Do it from your heart. Even if you may not completely understand it, I'll be there. I will provide you the words. You don't probably have to say anywhere close to what you think you need to say. It could just be said in one or two words. But say it to people. Right? But that's what light is about. It's exciting that God comes and he says, I'm coming and I have given this light and I am that light. I am the sunrise. And I have visited you from on high to give light to those who sit in darkness in the shadow of death. And I'm here to guide your feet into the way of peace. I'm in. Are you in? Amen. We have to be in. It's too good to deny. It's too good to reject. And if you haven't received that word today, keep coming to this church because you're going to hear it again and again. It doesn't change. Right? It doesn't change, but we change through the kindness of God and the love of God. If you're resisting, understand that I resisted too. But I know who my Redeemer is. And he lives in my heart. And he loves you. And he desires the best for your life. And he'll never stop. He'll never stop telling you that. And so that is the part where it comes into the very end where we say, Jesus said to his disciples, you are the light of the world. And I say that almost every Sunday. You're the light of the world. Go and be God's light. And so that's really where we are here today. You can bring people to the light. You. Just tell them, you understand, you know, what life is all about. It's in God's word, and you can share it with them. You are the light of the world, said Jesus. What an amazing statement that we are broken and they are just so fragile, but he knows exactly how that's going to help us in our witness because people want to see that you're fragile. They want to see that you can't do everything perfectly. And I've had people say that to me like, oh, you just like have it all figured out. And they're wrong. And so now we're going to take some time. We're going to remember Jesus. And we're going to remember the peace. The peace that he established through his dying on the cross. And then providing us a means to have eternal life for whoever believes on him. And this is a very special time for us in fellowship here together as a body of Christ because we all are believers and he wants us as believers to remember him in what he did for us. And that makes us even stronger and more loving and appreciative of what Jesus has done for us. And so let us prepare our hearts by singing a song. And we'll come before the Lord and consider the bread and the cup and what it means to us and ask Jesus to come with his light into our hearts and help us to shine. Good? It's the one in the hymn book, right? Okay, so you can take your hymn book. It's 267. The only thing, I can't sing, so you're going to have to sing, okay? I think Lee Chan will play it with the melodies. Send a light. Let's stand and sing 267 in our hymn books. Can you play the melody too for us? Okay. Okay. You got it. Now Now sing it with meaning. Shout it out. Shout it out. Shout out where you're from. Where are you born? Where were you born? When was the last time that you sent the light there? Do it. Send it. Good. Okay, I'm going to ask you where and what. Okay. Okay, that's good. Do it, right? Send the light to your country. Don't forget your country, and God can use you in a powerful way there, right? That's one of the places, but there's so many nations in the world where Jesus isn't known at all. And they need to be freed from the darkness of sin. They need to be freed from the darkness of sin. And there's people in our own country here, probably in, you know, very close by here, who need to hear the gospel light, right? And so let's share it there. Okay, please be seated. When Jesus was going to the cross, he met with his disciples and they sat in this room together and they had a meal together. And in the midst of that meal, different things took place. One of them is that Jesus bent down and he washed their feet. He washed their feet because he wanted them to know that he loved them and he was like the Son of God, but he was ready to serve them, and he served them by going to the cross. He served them by going to the cross. He was going to die for them. Amazing moment in the history of all of mankind, that the Son of God came down from on high, got on his knees, put a servant's towel around his waist, and washed the feet of his disciples. And he also spoke to them, and he said, I want you to take this. He took some bread, and he broke it, and he said, this is my body broken for you. And he was talking about his body that was going to the cross. And there was no way for them to fully understand what he was talking about. But we understand what he was talking about. And so he took something that was really, really just like light, and all these concepts are so easy for us to relate to. He took this bread, without which people cannot live. We need to eat something, right? And he broke it and he said, "This is my body broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." So we're going to take bread and we're going to eat a piece of it to remember Christ and to be remembering his sacrifice on that cross. And then he took a cup and he said, "This is the new covenant, right? In my blood." It's like, you know, last night we were talking about the hymn that said, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Righteousness that leads to peace. Right? And he said, "This is a new covenant. This is the new beginning. This is the, there's no more law. There's no more, doing things according to the law. This is by grace. And the grace of God is that you believe in me as the savior of your lives. And you can't be given, you can't do anything for it. You just need to believe."